promises of God. I was going to entitle this, I may have to do this for next week, America's Most Wanted. But you know that all of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. So America's Most Wanted will be our next message for next week. It'll be a good one. Bring someone. Invite 10, bring one. Okay? Promises, part two. So I believe sometimes people, we get so caught up in all the troubles, and just like Shana had talked about, God's favor is in our lives. It sets us up for success, not trouble. But too many times we're focused on the trouble because, look, Lord, I need help in this area. I need help over here. I need help in this relationship. I need help in my job. I need help in my finances. I need help in every area of my life, Lord. But that's what that favor is for. It's to set you up for success. See, these promises are established throughout the Bible. In John 3:16, we have one of the best promises ever. It says, for God, you can read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God promised that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He promised that. To say that God does not love humanity is an understatement. He loves. He so loved, he gave. He's a giver. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. God doesn't love us because we are good and we make him happy. He loves us because he's good. And it's who he is. He is love. God is love. He is his very nature is love. There is no darkness in him. God did not just tell the world that he loved us, but he showed and proved his love by giving his only begotten son. In Romans 5:8, it says this. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us, love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. Well, God can never forgive me. Well, Jesus died while you were still a sinner. While actually, you weren't even, I mean, you were thought of, but not in your parents. Your grandparents, what have you. But he already knew that you would be here. While you were yet still sinners, he died for you. So you don't ever have to question whether or not God loves you, because he does. God is not angry at you, but the church needs to step up by the Spirit of God and do what he has called us to do. For God so loved that he gave. He gave his son. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave gifts to the church. He gave all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth to the body of Christ. He gave you overcoming faith and victory that you can walk in your everyday life. He gave it to you. He gave you his word to read and study every single day. You are God's righteousness, and your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. This life is not yours. It's his. So yeah, if you don't think you have a big target on your back, you do. You had a big target ever since you've given your life to Jesus. And that enemy will love nothing more than to separate you or to get you to doubt whether or not God loves you. Get you to doubt that his promises won't ever come to pass. If he can get you to hesitate, we talk about all of his blessings will come and do what? It'll overtake us. God's blessings will come and overtake us. So as you're moving forward, those blessings are still coming. But God can't bless me. He can't bless me. You don't know what I've done. I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace. Well, you are saved, but you're the righteousness of God now. You may sin from time to time, but you are the righteousness of him. He doesn't look at you as a sinner. He looks at you as he sees himself because he's looking at your spirit. You are the church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against you. Anything that the enemy can throw at you, he can't accomplish. The gates of hell. Satan once had dominion. He had all power and authority on this earth and under the earth. And it says the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. We should be far along than where we are. If you think about that. So where does he try to stop you? Right here. We talked about that last week. Your biggest battle right here. However big your brain is, it's right there. That's that blocker right there, that mental block. So we have to do our part and stay connected to God and not to allow envy and jealousy to creep in our minds and hearts so that we are hurting one another. Self-control is what he has given us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Paul is encouraging Timothy not to let his flame die down. "For God has not given you, Timothy, a spirit of fear. The boldness and courage that comes from the Holy Spirit is needed in the ministry of reconciliation and to administer the gifts that were given to him. Fear is the spirit that comes to paralyze the church, to stop you from actually stepping into what God has called you to." Now, the church should never be operating in fear for two reasons. One, fear keeps us from fulfilling the Great Commission. And two, it's not to use against one another and trying to stop us from accomplishing and operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Passion Translation says this: "For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control." The Amplified says this: "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving or cringing or fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." See, I like the Amplified because the Amplified just blows it up and it adds more stuff to it. It adds more to God's goodness of who he is and what he does and what he's come to give you. We do have self-control in all of our areas of life. So if you're out of control in an area, you have to realize, "God, I'm having a hard time." No, he's giving you self-control. You're allowing fear to conquer that area. Think about it. If we don't have total control over ourselves, including myself, because I'm overweight, something's blocking it. He didn't give you that spirit of fear, so why are you taking it? Why are you receiving it? Why are you allowing it in your home? Why are you allowing it in your life? Y'all know, I took communications in college. I was told it was the easiest class you can take. Easy A. I failed it. The teacher's like, "What the?" I said, "Dude, you have to talk." There's one problem with that. You have to talk. You got to get over that fear. And just because we are clever and we can talk our way into and out of situations doesn't mean that we should all the time. Whatever area in our life that needs power, love, and a calm and a well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control, apply it in the name of Jesus to your situation. Say to yourself, speak over your life, "Fear, you no longer live here anymore. I don't accept you in my life. I don't accept you." people have a fear to pray. Some people have a fear to lead. Some people have a fear to invite. Some people have a fear to just run. Some people have a fear to step into something new. Just do the same thing every day. Everything my whole life is planned out from here to the next 10 years. What if God has you to do something else? Will you be able to do it? Would you be able to step into it? Or are you going to allow fear to conquer you? Some people have a fear to let go. Some people have a fear to draw near. Whatever fear it is, meet it head on and do battle with it. And you don't really have to do battle because Jesus didn't give it to you. So it's just like, hey, get up out of here. I remember the first time I was up here leading. I was playing the drums. I was filling in every now and then. And then they wanted me to lead a song. I was like, lead a song? I don't know if I can do that. But you know, I rehearsed that song in the shower when we stayed at a little apartment on 33rd. I rehearsed that song on my phone, in my truck, on a radio, whenever I was working. I was playing that song and it was in me. And then there was a part where it was a Hill song, I'm Free. And then it said, where you step out in faith, and I stepped out and I just felt the power of God hit me. I was like, okay, let's roll. Let's go. Why? That fear kept me back. Didn't want to press in. But when you press in on what God wants for you, man, it's like, what was I waiting for? All this time, I've allowed it to conquer my life. Fear to start that new project. Fear to start that new business. I've allowed it to stop what God wanted in my life. Or you were allowing it. Don't allow fear. He didn't give it to you. It's cowardice. John 8. There's no more darkness in this. John 8, 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So if you are truly walking and following Jesus, then darkness has no power over you. And following means trusting and obeying Jesus. Sounds simple, but sometimes the flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. Y'all know that. You got a piece of pie late at night, 12 o'clock, and it's like, okay, it's pecan pie. It's calling my name. So you kind of wake up like, just sit right straight up in bed. And then your feet just ends up taking you right to that pie and then opens up the door or the drawer and you grab yourself a knife or now actually a fork or something. Or you might get a knife, a little butter knife, and cut a little slither so your spouse won't know that you took some. Your flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. But he who follows Jesus will always be walking in the light. You are not going to get that perfect. No one ever will. But Jesus does not want you to pull away from him just because things aren't going your way. If you got problems in your life, he doesn't want you to pull away. He wants you to draw near. It's simple to pull away, to go and isolate. That's easy to do. That's the easy thing to do. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to draw near. Why? Because he wants to comfort you. He wants to help you. He wants to listen to what you got going on in your life. Even though he already knows it, it's good to just give it to him. Lord, I can't control what's going on in my life. Well, control what you can control. Give it to him. The battle is his. Give it to him and allow him to work in your life. Quit trying to do it on your own. Allow God to work. Let him cook. Let him work. Let your faith work. Put your faith to work. If the promise of his word does not come to pass in your life, will you still love God? Will you still love him? Will you still serve him? Will you still trust and obey him if you don't receive anything from him ever again? You know, God still sent his son to die for all of humanity, even though he knows there will some that will not be receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There will be people who despise him and even mock him. They will be persecuted. They will persecute those who choose to follow him and surrender their lives to him. Some stop loving God because they don't get what they want. That's it, Lord, I'm done. I'm quitting church. Church hurt, church hurt. It's not to discredit that. You get hurt everywhere. But if you quit everything in life just because you get hurt, I think sometimes you need to back off a little bit. But if you back into his arms, back into his loving kindness. I can't go to church anymore. I got hurt at church. We all get hurt at church. Sometimes I say, if you read the word, you're going to get hurt. Because the Bible says that his word is sharper than any double-edged sword. You mean to tell me you've never read the word of God where it's, ouch. Ooh, let me turn that page over. I want to read that. Let me redact that. Now, you can't do that. But at the same time, it'll heal you. Because sometimes we don't want to face the truth of what his word says. You got to walk in love. But you don't know what they did to me. You have to walk in love. Faith works by love. So how do you expect your faith to work? You can't fake it. You can't love bomb people all your life and then expect, God, my faith ain't working. No, we've got spiritual laws here. His love that he has given you, faith works by that. I can pretend all day long if I want to, but God would know the difference. And then I can say, you know, I'll be praying for someone else and what have you, and believing God for God to heal and restore, and it doesn't happen. Well, I guess God didn't want to do this today. I guess God, he does whatever he wishes. He can do that. But he says, I am willing every single time. Are you willing to heal this person? I am willing. God is willing. God wants you healed. He wants you restored. He wants you delivered. He wants you set free. He doesn't want you living with that stuff. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you received this promise by faith and grace? If you have, you're off to a great start. Because that's one promise. That's one promise that he's given you. And the rest of the promises are based upon you being a son and daughter. So it's yours. If you're giving your life to him. If you believe in him. Now, what's the next promise in your life that needs to be established? Your relationship with God. It's not much of a relationship. I couldn't live my life, even though my parents went to church all the time and took us all the time. I couldn't live my faith in my life, and I couldn't have a relationship with God if I never developed it myself with him. You know, if you have an individual who has a personal relationship with God, and then they tell a friend about Jesus, and then that friend gets it, never receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior, never, spends time with them, reads about them. They just go and tell other people what they've learned about Jesus. Do they really know him? No, they just know about Jesus, right? In the same way, we can't do that with God. We can't do that with our relationship. See, I know my son because I take the time to get to know he's my son. If I know people, I know them because I take the time to get to know them. I don't go around asking about them from someone else. I don't need to ask Richard about Tom because I can just go to Tom. You see what I'm saying? And I can't go around saying, hey, you know what? I know a lot about Tom, you know, he's all this other stuff based upon what Richard knows Tom, but I got to get to know Tom myself. And a lot of people think that's a relationship. That's not a relationship. You just know about that individual. And people would think that they know about God and they can get online and read about him and stuff. But in reality, they don't really know him. Know him. And this is eternal life, that they may know the Father. You got to get to know Jesus. You got to get to know the Father. You got to get time to spend in his word and sit in his presence and allow him to speak to you. Don't you just do all the speaking. Do I have to say that again? Because a lot of times we like to get in the presence of God and just do this and never this. Be quick to what? Listen. It's the reason why you have two ears and one mouth. Be quick to listen. Your relationship with God, not material things, but your relationship with your Heavenly Father, that's important. A loving Father. He's a loving Father. And not just that, he's a giving Father. And not just that, he's a forgiving Father. And not just that, he's an understanding Father. And many more. We can go on and on, but it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his what? And all these things shall be. So we don't have to chase after those things. The world will. They'll post about it, take pictures with it, throw it on Instagram. You're living that Instagram life. Your life is good, man. Everybody's life is good on Instagram. It looks, they do a great job on social media. But deep down, they could be broken inside. Because they don't have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. God knows you need those things. He knows you want those things. You know, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He's not trying to keep you away from things. He just doesn't want those things to have you. You don't ever have to feel guilty about what the Lord has blessed you with. Ever. Don't ever feel. Somebody try to make you feel guilty, I say, bless you. You may be thinking something else. Just bless them. You bless them because you're a blessing, right? So if you belong to God, then he is your master. Our eyes should be set on him and his kingdom and his righteousness. And believers are to make God's righteousness their main concern for their lives, because God will flourish in their lives through his righteousness rather than our self-righteousness. God will truly take care of you if you place him first in all that you do. First. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God. Everybody say, my God. My God. Not someone else's God. Not Buddha. God, Jehovah, El Shaddai, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glories by Christ Jesus. Say that one time. My God shall supply all my needs. All. What comes after all? Is there anything left? A third of your needs? A half? Three quarters? 5/16? All your needs. Everything you need. And you get people that will debate. I said, whatever you may need in your life, God will supply all your needs. Whatever you may need in your life, God will supply your needs. Now, you may have a basis of what you need in your life, but there may be some differences here. He will supply all your needs according to his, not ours. Not the economy's either. See, that's another level. We're worried about what the economy is going to do. No. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Paul's needs were met by the church, and they were in great poverty. And God met his needs. And God met their needs, but it is according to his great riches. See, there's a law here at work. Give and it shall be what? Give and it shall be what? Give and it shall be what? Come on. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured into your bosom. But with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And I love this illustration. Every time I think about it, I think about my wife with her snowballs. Good measure pressed down, shaken together. She used to get the 32 ounces. Now she's kind of conservative and get the 20 ounce and even a small. She'll come back with a small. What are you doing? It's a big one. Shake it. Press down. Pour it. Shake it. Stir it and get all that air out. Pour a little more. Shake it. Stir it. Why? You're trying to get it full. But see, that's for her. It says, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That running over part, that's for other people. What's in the cup is yours. So get a big cup. Get a good, for the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Get a big cup. When you give generously. Look at what the Passion Translation says. It says, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. That's a promise. That's a law. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Don't allow the enemy to steal the word that is sown in your heart. When you give generously, generous gifts will be given back to you. That's in everything. If it's in love, if you want to be sarcastic with people, go ahead and be generous with it. What's going to be measured right back to you? You better be able to take it if you can dish it out. Well, they're always being sarcastic. You're giving it. And for with the measure you use, it will be measured by judgment. Love, compassion, finances, gifts, whatever it is. That's the spiritual law. So give good gifts and give generously. That's not hard. Sometimes we want to be stingy. Paul was not trying to manipulate anyone here. These are promises and kingdom laws at work that Satan doesn't have an answer for. He can't stop that. Satan cannot stop you from giving to others, but he can make you feel guilty about giving because he does not want you to receive anything. He does not want you to be a blessing to other people, but he cannot stop you from being blessed because you're already blessed with every spiritual blessing. 2 Corinthians 9, the Passion Translation says this, here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest. But the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Man, I'm telling you, God is for you. You know, the Spirit of God that God has given us is a generous and powerful and loving spirit. It is not a stingy spirit. If you did it for the least of these, you did it for Jesus. God is not a stingy God. He so loved the world that he what? He withheld. No, he gave. And he put that same spirit, that spirit living on the inside of us. Well, I just don't feel like helping people today. I just want to be by myself. Wait a minute. What he's giving you is not just for you. It's enough to run over. And whatever's running over is to help those he's called you to help. Now, I'm not saying go out and just sow your money into everybody else. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And if you don't have it, you don't have it. Don't give from your cup. Give from what's running over. That makes sense? Come on. Proverbs 11:25 says this. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. Saturated. I like that word. Saturated. You ever seen oil when it saturates a handkerchief or something like that? Man, it just get it all over. You will be saturated with favor. Why is it that this person keeps getting raises and promotions? And how is it that everybody loves this individual? Why is it that they're just always being chosen for this and that? And it's that favor of that's on your life. You all have it. But if we continue to go around saying nobody knows the sorrows I see because we want attention at times. Wait a minute. When you feel compelled to play the victim, think about the favor that's on your life already. Think about the favor. When you feel compelled to be like, you know what? I've just been down and out in every which way. Think about the favor. Get to the favor. God, go to Proverbs 11:25 and speak that over your life. Hopefully it will jolt you. Snap out of it. Let's go. Let's get it. Those who live to bless others. Lord, have I been a blessing today for anyone? If not, who can I help? Who can I pray for? Who can I call up and just give an encouraging word? Hey, man, don't give up. Keep fighting. I'm right there with you in spirit. Is there anything you need? You need prayer? You need me to come hang out? What do you need? I have time. Be a blessing. One of these days, I want to be able to call somebody up and say, hey, can I drive that combine? I like farming. Kind of feel like dude off of son-in-law. Thank God I'm a country boy. One of these days, they're not probably not going to let me ride in their 300,000 plus equipment. But you know what? Doesn't hurt to ask. As long as it's air conditioned, I'm not trying to do the old school stuff. Get some air conditioning first. They will have blessings heaped upon them. One man said, we work to give, not to live. I like that. You cannot get away from the promises and law of God. The laws of God are in effect 24/7, 365. But you have to work with them. Too much effort has been spent on our part in humanity working against them. You have to work with them. As Matthew 11:28 says in a message, it says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's why Jesus says, the works that I do shall you do, and you will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. He says, learn from me. Everything that Jesus did, he did to establish, he did operating with the spiritual laws. Don't watch powerless men do something. Watch him. Learn from him. I'm learning from him. How he did it. Lord, how did you rest in that? You spoke to that. You call that thing out. You spoke to that tree. They touched you and they were healed. People brought those who were on the bed and so that Peter's shadow may be casted, may fall upon him so that they may be healed. I said, how is that possible? Okay, I got to learn from him. But it's all done through L-O-V-E. Faith works by love. I can keep asking how all day long. But if I don't get myself in love, if you don't get yourself in love, it's never going to work. I grab my wife's keys. We have our keys right there by our door. And sometimes, I don't know how, but my keys don't always end up on that hook. They end up in my pocket and on the kitchen counter or in the basement. I don't know why she keeps moving them like that. Just kidding. This one time I went to start my car, my truck. It was years ago, a few years ago. And I ended up starting her car. So when I got up to my truck, it was hot. Come on. But they gave me the right keys, didn't you, Matt? Yeah, he gave me the right keys. But I didn't use them. It's a little bit frustrating, but at the same time, I can go back and start it and wait. God has given you the keys. Faith works by love. It's not fear and then love bombing. It's not faith and love bombing. It's faith and love that works together. You can't fake it. And I guarantee you, man, you're going to see some things in your life start to move and start to shift. You're going to see in your prayers answered more and more and more. And it's like, okay, this is pretty awesome. But don't grow weary in doing good. Because sometimes we can get fed up with, okay, we got enough victory. I just need a challenge. There's no challenge out there that can stop you. That's what I'm telling you. See, it's easy to go to God when things are going bad. What happens when things are just going good? That's the test. Are you still going to praise him and lift him up? I don't want to get on anybody else's. Not too many hands were raised during worship. God has not fallen off his throne. He is still El Shaddai. And anytime we come in here, let's give it wholehearted. I was in my office, I said, Lord, I'm all out for you. I want to give him all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. See something shift in your life. Is praise a weapon? So why don't we use it? Think about that. You can smile. Praise is a weapon. But I don't like music. They didn't play my song. They used to have a song back in the day. It's called a happy song. Y'all remember that? Happy song. It never made me happy. It sounded like a hoedown. Seriously. It's like, and then we had, who was that? John, who was whistling? John, he'd be whistling. I was like, what is going on here? I've never seen this before. They whistling in church and stuff? Oh, I could sing on and then. At the banjo going and. It never made me happy until I had to remake it, and I made a remix on it. But I understood why they were singing the happy song and why they were happy. It's because of their relationship with Jesus. And every single day you wake up, you're living with Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. What you doom and gloom about? Right there, the Spirit that has raised Christ from the dead is right next to your depression, right next to your heartache, right next to your illness, your ailment. Just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up again. I'm laying here on the stage. I got all the music sheets out because, you know, being that worship leader, you start piling those music sheets, can get piled up if you don't put them back every single week. So I would just lay them out and just get them in order and stuff. And I just laid back and I just started thinking about my pops. Started weeping a little bit. And then I said, Lord, what is that? He goes, depression. Now I started praying in the spirit. And then I felt that heaviness almost. And I go, what is that? He goes, depression. So I began praying it out just about 5 minutes. Prayed it out. That thing lifted. And I just began laughing uncontrollably. And I began shouting. And it was just the stage lights, just these lights on. Resurrection power lives on the inside of you. There is nothing in you, in this world, if it ever gets in you, that can take you out with the Holy Spirit living in you. Nothing. If you apply it, if you operate in it, if you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in what? The Holy Spirit. We are blessed to be a blessing. In Proverbs 19, it says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. In Proverbs 22:8, it says, sin is a seed that brings a harvest. You'll reap a heap of trouble with every seed you plant, for your investment in sin pays a full return, but the full punishment you deserve. When you are generous to the poor, you are enriched with blessing in return. And here's for some of y'all. And it says, say goodbye to a troublemaker, and you'll say goodbye to the quarrels, strife, tension, and arguments, for a troublemaker traffics in shame. And in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast, firm, the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to do everything he said he would do. Doubt and unbelief in God brings dishonor to him. How can we doubt the living God and anything that he says? Lord, I don't believe that I can. What? If Jesus did it, you can do it. And there's been many people who have done it before. I don't believe that I can pray for my spouse and they get healed. That's doubt and unbelief. That dishonors him, because Jesus died for that. That's like saying somebody who wants to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, they can't receive it because you can't lead them. Faith works by what? Love. Ask the Lord if you're operating in love. Real, or is it fake? Promises. They're yours. Not just to keep, but to live off of. Anybody have any China? We don't have a China. My mom used to have a China hutch back in the day. Y'all used to have China hutches with the nice fine dining and the plates that we can never touch, but once a year. And some of y'all may even have some furniture that has some plastic. And you may know somebody who has some plastic on the furniture that you can't sit down. That is just for the guest. In the summer, be all hot and you try to sit on it and you get all sticky and it's stuck to your leg and stuff. And but everything that God has given you is the best. It's the best of the best. He's not giving you a fourth of something. He's giving you all that he has. And he's not trying to withhold anything from his children. So receive it today. Say, Lord. Say, repeat this. Lord, I receive everything that you have freely given me in Christ. Healing, finances, deliverance, protection, safety, well-being, my welfare, my relationships are established in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all ready to go? You ready to stay? I got another, I can preach another hour if you want me to. You don't have to scrape the barrel anymore. What he has for you is his best. I have five brothers. Five. I'm the third oldest, and I have three under me. We shared everything, and I hated it. We used to have our own little footlocker at the edge of our bed with all of our clothes in, and we didn't put them in the drawers, maybe just socks, but our good clothes, we put them at the end because we didn't want our brothers wearing our clothes. And if there's one fight that would break out in the house, being in somebody else's clothes, right? So when it got to the place where I came here to Hayes, I didn't have my brother stealing stuff from me. I was ecstatic. I loved it because that was the first time in 20 years that I was able to be just be like freely hanging my stuff up now. I didn't have to worry about my shoes being taken but also I couldn't borrow from anybody either. What God has given you is yours. So you don't have to covet your neighbor. It's freely yours. What he's given you, Luke, he's given Isaiah. He's given Matt. He's given Steve. Liberally. Which is awesome. Because we serve an awesome God. He's faithful. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for each and every person here, Lord. We thank you for their life, their health, and their strength, Lord. We thank you for the promises that are over their lives. And that, Lord, you were waiting to fulfill them in their lives, Lord. Help us to get to the place to where we expect every single day your blessings to overtake us. To live a life of expectancy. Free of guilt, free of sin, and free of condemnation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.